In this episode today, we are going to be talking about if you are an emotionally healthy leader. We're going to be covering some of the work that's in Peter Scazzaro's book, The Emotionally Healthy Leader, because I'm telling you, as I've gone through this book, it is literally changing my life. And for those of us, those of you who are out there as a leader in any capacity, this book is a must, and we're going to talk about it today. I hope to see you on the inside. If you are a female entrepreneur and you are struggling in the area of your faith, your focus, or your finances, maybe you are an entrepreneur and you want to start a business, but you don't know where to go, what to do, or how to get going. Maybe you've already started a business and you just want to scale it, but you need someone to be able to support you to be able to get there. If that's you in any way, you are in the right place. I am your girl, your sister, and your mentor, Dr. T. I am the host of this podcast, Faith, Focus, and Finances, and I am here to be able to support you in wherever it is you're trying to grow, whether it's in your faith, whether it's in your focus on your mindset, maybe your finances, because together we are going to get there. This podcast is part of the CCO Club Network. You can go to ccoclub.com to find more information, but if you are here, make sure that you are ready to go in, because a sister goes in on what it is she does. And I'm going to make sure that I'm going to pour out everything that I have inside of me to be able to support you on your journey. So make sure you hang out with me and get this information, because I know together we are going to be blessed. I will see you on the inside. Hey there, this is your girl, your sister, and your mentor, Dr. T, coming to you with another episode of Faith, Focus, and Finances. Listen, it seems like as of late, we are talking about faith. This is where we're going to stay until it's time to not talk about it anymore. I am glad for those of you who have been rocking with me from all around the world in various countries. We are covering various places in the United States of America. Thank you, thank you, thank you for that. As well as thank you to those of you who have been making donations. It is not a small thing, no matter how much you've decided to donate. For those of you who would like to, you can click on the comments in the link in the comments, because it is there, or a link in the description. I keep saying the comments, but it's in the description. For those of you who would like to, again, you guys, you're just blessing my soul so much. And I just thank you for continuing to bless what it is that God is putting through me to do more. And you know what? I am really just trying to, in this season, hear from God and hear from him about where it is I'm supposed to go, the things I'm supposed to be doing. And this podcast is one of the things that is going to stay on the top of the list. I've felt that when it was time for me to start, and we're going to continue to do that. And with this podcast today, we're talking about this book that I've been reading, The Emotionally Healthy Leader by Peter Scazzaro. He does the emotionally healthy whole bunch of stuff, right? And the emotionally healthy woman. I think he has a multi-healthy church. I could be lying on him with that one. I didn't mean to, but he has several of them, because that's what he does, talking about being emotionally healthy. And one of the things that I absolutely love about this book is his openness and honesty about who he is, where he has been, the mistakes that he's made in his life, in his ministry, in his leadership, right? And what he learned over the years of getting to a place of doing it right, or doing it better, because we're always going to fall short, right? But doing it better, and doing it to the glory and honor of God. And I encourage you, if you guys have not done it, the two you need to get, well, I'm just going to say this book, Peter Scazzaro's The Emotionally Healthy Leader. If you are a leader in any way, shape, or form, get it. If you're working with leaders and you guys need a book to read, I would recommend it. Now, of course, it's biblically based, but hopefully that won't mess with people. But if it does, then you might not be able to read it. But I still think you should be able to. That's just me. I'm going to go ahead and say that. I just believe that you should be able to do that. But for me, the season that I'm in, as I have transitioned my life, I was literally, before I got on this podcast, just telling my girl that where I'm at right now is I'm at a place where I don't want to look at what has happened to me in these 50 few plus years as how I got here, what I did wrong, the wrong and mistakes that I've made, what I should have done differently, the time that I've wasted, all of these connotations that don't speak life into your spirit, right? I don't want to look at that. I want to look at it being a book that is done writing, that I've been done, finished writing that particular book. And I am really, really looking at something new and improved for my life, and especially with my relationship with God. And I have been really on this quest as of late, wanting to get deeper in the Word, deeper in prayer, deeper in my connection with God, and deeper in just wanting to hear from God more. And it's so amazing that even Peter talks about this in his book, that there are even people who are preaching the Word of God and churches growing. Let me throw that out there too, that don't have a deep relationship with God because you're so busy. That might set somebody free right there. It's like we put God on our schedule because that's what we have to do. And my question is, is the time that we're spending with God a check mark because I did it, or is it something deeper that's transforming me? I ain't even taking that back. I'm saying it to me first because I know it was check mark, right? I did it. I prayed. I read a little bit of the Word. I did this or didn't, right? Because I was too busy, right? And we can spend so much time in work and play and connections that God gets put on the back burner. Just think about many of the religious leaders that we have today that have so many things to do in their churches. And I think that the running a small church is probably one of the hardest things to do because you don't have oftentimes the financial backing to be able to do all the things or pay all the people to do all the things that you need. So you're spending a lot more time with volunteers and so on and so forth. So it can be harder to get a church where the growth that you would like it to be, or where God wants you to have that growth, right? And so it can be easy to having our relationship, our true deep relationship with God, be put on the back burner. And so with all that, I was telling my girl that as I'm starting this new way of thinking, I was telling my goddaughter, I was saying, I feel lost. And I said, lost isn't the word. I said, it feel like it's blank. It's just a blank area. And my daughter was helping me to reframe it. And I was like, I don't want to reframe it right now. I just want to sit in this blank area. And then I called her the next day saying, I would like to apologize to you because your reframe was great. Like, I'm reframing it. And it's a big old blank slate, tabula rasa, blank slate, right? That I get to color in, and I want to color differently. I want to put God in a place of prominence in everything. And I, based on where I'm at in my life, I actually have the opportunity to do it the right way. And I'm not saying that any way that anybody does it is the wrong way. I'm saying the way that I was doing it. I did it a way for 50 some years. Now I'm going to do it a different way. And to me, this feels more right because I have to do something differently to where the love of God is at the center. In his book, he's talking about slowing down for loving union. And he's talking about this loving union as being love of God, right? And that's receiving and giving. And I am just in myself tired of, as a leader and as a woman of God, I'm just tired of always having something to do. I'm actually tired of the life that I built for myself and all the things that I'm doing. I don't want to do it that way anymore. I don't want to do it that way. And so I know that you guys have heard me talk before about rest, that being an important thing. I think it's still something that we should focus on. But Peter talks about four different areas to improve your love of God, both receiving and giving. And these four relationships are prayer, rest, relationships, and work. And right before I got to this particular section in the book, I was thinking about, I said, I want to start journaling, God. I said, but I feel like, it was literally like, I feel like there's probably four areas that I want to journal in, but I don't know like I want to be looking at four different areas in my life that I want to be focused on, you know, daily. Am I doing the right things every day in these areas? And I didn't force myself to try to, like I would have before, just like, it's these areas, this is what I'm going to do, let's get started, right? It's, I waited. And then I got to this area and I said, that's what it is. That's what it is. And even in this book, in this particular chapter, what Peter recommends, one of the things, and again, I want you to get the book, so I definitely won't spoil a lot for you. But one of the things he said is just write out the different things that you love to do, you know, that you want to do for yourself. And he says, as you go through this particular section, this particular area, he calls it a rule of life organized, a rule of life organizational chart kind of thing. He said, do work last. He said, do work last, because that is the area that many of us as leaders fail the most. And when I say fail, he didn't say fail, I'm saying fail, is because we let work infringe upon every aspect of our being. Watch this. God is dropping this in my spirit right now. Not only do we have our daily lives surrounded by work, is that our sleep life becomes surrounded by it, because many of us are stressing about the work. We are staying there too late. We are trying to get more done. We are trying to serve more people, and it's gotten out of alignment. Right. And I am the first to say it. If it's not you, I'll stand here by myself and say it. Like, it has gotten out of alignment. And what's so powerful about God right now, in my opinion, is that for myself, is that he slowed me down enough that and I got myself to the place, because he's not going to force us to get there. Right. I got myself to the place where I was like, man, I just need a deeper relationship. I just need to do something different. And when I started really continuing to talk about that in my spirit, praying about that, God revealed himself. It really was that simple. And what I recognize is you actually have the opportunity right now, based on where you are. And watch, I'm going to say this, based on where I am, based on the age of my son, the things that's happening in his life, based on where I'm living, based on everything that's happening, based on where I am in my church and what I'm doing there, you actually have an opportunity to rewrite the script, like right now. Many people don't get the opportunity to do that. And I said, This is my chance to do the things that I feel are more pleasing to God in a more healthy way, because I can focus those things through the lens of God first, my Lord and my God. I can focus those things not thinking about it with prayer as an afterthought, but going through prayer to get to that thing, right? So if I'm going to start coaching and consulting again, I'm going to go through prayer to get there. I'm going to go through rest to get there. If Peter talks about if there's something that comes up, he's an opportunity to do an international speaking event. But if he can't shift anything in any of those four boxes, again, there, prayer, rest, relationships, and work, if nothing can be shifted and he can still stay on track, then he can't do it. And that is because his love of God is first. His love of God and the dedication he's made with prayer, rest, work, and relationships are paramount to the work that he's supposed to do on earth. And that made so much sense to me. And I didn't do it. I wasn't doing it that way. I wasn't doing it from the perspective of that first. I was doing it with the lens was work. The lens was money. The lens was coaching and consulting. That was the lens. And then you wrap prayer and rest around that. And I think that that's probably, if I'm going to be also transparent and honest, I think that that's why rest was always so hard for me. Right? Is because work took up, I didn't have four boxes. I had work, and then I had little dots of the other stuff. That might set somebody free right there. And so I'm really, really going through this time of looking at being emotionally healthy and the changes that I need to make in order to get there. In the book that Peter talks about, there's a few takeaways that I think so far, and I'm just gonna just give a few takeaways that I think that if you're looking at being emotionally healthy, that are important. And one of them, I'm going to say that that I was saying to one of my girls today, this is something, a revelation I got, is that many of us may think that we're emotionally healthy. And the reality is, I believe that if you're not an introspective person, it's going to be hard for you to relate to this. I said it, deal with it. It's going to be hard to relate because being introspective means that you are continuously taking a look at you, right? Not just looking at the world outside of you or the world around you or the world that you created, but looking at you and seeing what are your shadows, right? That's what it, one of the things it talks about. What are your shadows? What are the areas in your life that you don't see or that are not healthy or that you operate from that God wants to heal us from? I remember one of my pastors said, you want to train and lead. No, he said, you want to lead from your scars, not from your wounds. And many of us are still leading from our wounds because we haven't been introspective enough to recognize it's still an open wound that we need to heal so that we can lead from the scar of that. Because if we're leading from the scar, it's already done. You might still never forget it, right? You won't ever forget it, but you're leading from a much healthier place, right? And so one of the things he's talking about is leading from yourself, not your persona. Many of us have created based on culture and what culture is telling us to do. We are leading from a persona of what we think other people think we should be, or the person that we've made ourselves up to be, or how we look, and it's not our authentic. Right. And we have to really begin to identify not only our core values and our strength, but also our weaknesses. I'm not afraid of my weaknesses. I actually have never been afraid of my weaknesses. I have not liked some things, like a season when I was going through when I had jealousy. I have not liked some things about myself, but I was like, God, you got to deliver me from this, because this is the devil himself. Right. Like, but my weaknesses, I am one of those leaders who is okay with surrounding themselves with people who are that's better than they are. That you're good in this area, you do that because you are brilliant, and I'm okay with not being as brilliant as you are, right? But some of us are not, right? And so get some feedback from trusted people about helping you to lead from your true self, And if you're at a place in your life where you're not sure of who your true self is, you absolutely need to get the book and need to do some work. You need to do some thought work. You need to do some journaling, some praying, some talking to some people, some therapy, whatever it is that you need to do to get to yourself. Because sometimes we go through life and we've created something for so long that we've lost sight of who we are, or we've lived a certain way. Like you have lived as a mother for so long that you forget that you're an individual first. You have lived as a wife for so long, or a husband for so long, that you forget about who you are as an individual. Those are just some examples. You've been a leader for so long. You've been a principal for so long. You've been a doctor for so long. You've been a lawyer for so long, right? You have been a hustler for so long that you lose sight of who you are. And I am encouraging us to go back to the place of finding out and to rediscovering our true selves and not leading from our persona. The other thing that I wanted to leave you with that he's talked about is having the ability to embrace the gifts of limits. Embrace the gift of limits. We should start putting limits on ourselves a lot more, because we are too, this society is just too much of go, 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 do, yes, yes, yes. And we have to, whether it's a physical limit, an emotional limit, or a spiritual limit, we can't try to be everything to everybody. We have to stop doing that, because I believe it's a trick of the enemy. And if we stay so busy doing for other people, we are the devil is happy that we are neglecting our relationship with God and neglecting the care that we have to do for ourselves. I said it, deal with it. It's a trick of the enemy. So we have to start putting, we have to put some limits on ourselves. We have to assess our commitments and be able to say no when needed. You know, I remember getting myself into, I was helping with a particular department at church, and I tried to quit and then I was kind of lightweight, not trying to quit, but then I was trying to quit and I'm like, I got to do it, because I'm not, this is not where I need to be. This is not where my time and my talent need to be. And you guys are already flourishing without me. Like, I'm not needed. I want to be take that time back, because there's a season where I was just doing way too much, right? And that's just an example of church. You could be doing, when I was a principal of a school, doing the same thing, doing way too much and not figuring out that I had to put some limits on some things. Just setting boundaries is not selfish. It's wise. It's not selfish. It's wise. And it is the true sign for an impactful leader, and it's going to be essential for your sustainability as an effective leader. I want you to think about that, right? I want you to think about that. And I'm going to just give you one more, because I had a few more, but I'm just going to give you one more. And I talked about this before, and I'm going to say it again. It was about practice Sabbath rest to recharge and reconnect. His view of observing Sabbath as a critical practice for emotionally healthy leaders. I have regular rest and worship recharge the mind, body, and spirit, preparing leaders to serve with renewed energy and focus. Like, you got to do it. Like, and I'm so excited that I have opened my eyes to this particular season and recognize that I am in a great place with where it is that I want to be, even though it's a blank space, right? Because that can be daunting and scary, right? But I'm not allowing my mind to go to that daunting and scary place. I'm trying to keep my mind in a place where I'm saying, well, you know, the glass is half full, right? Like, let's go out and do things. Everything is lined up for me to be extremely successful, right? And now it's just, I just have to stay in line with God. It's like, God, I tried this my way. Now I want to do less, and there's going to be more healthy fruit as a result of it. There's going to be better connections as a result of it. There's going to be different stages that are a result of it. There's going to be more impactful messages that are a result of it. It's going to be a stronger ministry as a result of it. Like, but God, listen, it's me and you now. We here, and I'm glad that I'm here. I wasn't glad at first. I'm telling you that honestly, but now I see that this is nothing but a blessing, and I am ready to go, because God does different kind of math. We add. God does something more than calculus, right? He's doing physics on us, right? And he's doing his math is such that, What does the Bible say? Little becomes much when you can place it in the master's hand. Actually, I think that's a song, but you understand my point, right? Like, little can become much, but we got to give it to him. And I'm ready. I'm ready at this season of my life to be able to give it to him, because I want to be an emotionally healthy leader, because I believe that's what God has called us to be. I hope that there was something that I said today that was a blessing to your spirit, that you feel like you can listen to this one again. You can send it to one of your sister friends, because I want us to be the best that we can be on this side of heaven. You guys decide you're going to be great today on purpose, and I'll see you in the next episode. Hey there, before you go, I'd really appreciate it if you took a second to click on that like, follow, or subscribe button. You can even download this episode for later or send it to a sister friend that may need it, because those are the things that are going to help us grow. Also in the description, if you'd be so kind as to click on that donation button, that is really what's going to take us into the next stratosphere. Your support and help with this, because it takes a lot to get this podcast going, and I know that it'll continue to be a blessing. Thank you so much in advance for your support.